This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com. So I'm joined in the studio by the author PG Bell. Hello.
Hello, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Now, you've written a book. I was going to say it's brand new, but it's been out for a little bit, is that right? So listeners may have heard it already.
Yes, it's been out since October last year.
October, and it's The Train to Impossible Places.
That's right.
Now, for anybody who hasn't read it already, can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, sure. It's a fantasy adventure story about a girl called Susie who thinks she's got her life figured out. She really, really loves understanding how the world works. She loves physics and science because it helps her to get a grip on the reality around her. And that reality is shattered one night when she wakes up to discover a troll building a railway through the hallway of her house, which obviously is not the sort of thing she's expecting to wake up to.
It's a bit odd, yes.
Yes. So she confronts him only to be almost run over by an enormous, great, bizarre steam train that comes crashing in through her front door. And that's the Impossible Postal Express. It's a high-speed post office on wheels that delivers parcels and packages and letters from one magical world to another, and it's using her house as a shortcut. And Sophie realises that the only way she's ever going to understand what's happening is to stow away on board and see where it's going and what it's up to.
So she meets Fletch originally, and then she kind of gets to Wilmot as well?
That's right, yes. Fletch is the troll who's building the railway. He's the engineer. He's quite bad-tempered.
Yes,
And Wilmot is also a troll. He's the postmaster who works on board the express. So he's in charge of the post, and he becomes her best friend on this adventure across this range of worlds.
And then she has to deliver a parcel that doesn't want to be delivered, is the problem.
That's right, yes. She volunteers to deliver a parcel for Wilmot, but the parcel is alive and doesn't want to be delivered. It's actually a frog in a snow globe that claims that it's a prince under an evil curse, and it's going to be delivered by Susie to Lady Crepuscula, who's this fearsome sorceress who lives at the top of a tower in
I'm
a frozen desert.
I'm so glad you
desert.
Said her name, because I couldn't pronounce it.
People have trouble with it. Yeah, Lady Crepuscula.
It's an amazing name to say out loud.
So oh, thank
lovely.
You. Thank
yeah.
you.
So basically, yes, she has to deliver something to Lady Crepuscula, who the parcel doesn't want to go to her.
No. So it asks Susie not to deliver it, basically, and instead to smuggle it back to safety on board the express. And that's exactly what she does, sort of slightly against her better judgment.
Yep, sure.
But they go on the run together on the train across, from one magical world to another with Lady Crepuscula in pursuit and her army of living statues, because she's quite a creepy personality.
She is.
And so Susie has to try and find a way of restoring Frederick, the prince who's trapped in the snow globe, to his true form. But then she starts to have doubts about whether he's telling her the whole truth and why he's really on the run. So, and then the whole adventure spins out from there, really.
So the Impossible Places are kind of, I think, is it Wilmot who says they're planets, so they're also places, they're like dimensions, they're not, it could be anything.
Yes, that's it. They're a whole sort of potpourri of just weirdness, really. Some of them are planets, some of them are worlds, they're realms, some of them are just cities, some of them are just odd little bits of reality that no one's quite found a use for.
And is there anywhere in particular that you would like to visit yourself?
Oh, from the book?
Yeah.
Oh, there's the capital city of the trolls, which is called Trollville, where gravity works in all sorts of different directions, depending on where you're standing. I've borrowed bits from all of my favourite cities.
Right.
So bits of Newport, where I grew up in South Wales, bits of Sheffield and Glasgow and bits of London, and then a load of other stuff that I've just made up. So it's very lively, it's very weird, it's got a lot of personality.
Is there anywhere that we haven't seen yet that we might see in future books?
Oh, lots of places, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I've almost finished writing the sequel, which is called The Great Brain Robbery, which is another adventure for Susie and the crew. And we visit all sorts of places. We do get to visit Trollville in a lot more detail in that one as well, and we find out a bit more about the city. But yeah, Susie gets to explore some brand new impossible places.
Now, Susie's quite a practical person. She loves her physics. Or physics. I love the trolls call their version of it.
Yes, yes. Troll science is sort of as much magic as science, really. And that really rubs Susie up the wrong way, because she doesn't think that they're taking the laws of physics entirely seriously.
But they kind of don't have to, do they? Because they don't really work in the same way.
No, that's it. As soon as the science becomes inconvenient to them, then the magic kicks in and they do their own thing.
And if you've got magic, why would you rely on science, let's face it?
Well, exactly. they've got the best of both worlds, really.
And is it true that this started as a story that you're reading to your kid, or you're kind of like making up to your kids at bedtime?
Yes. For my eldest son, actually, when he was about 3 or 4 years old, we had been reading Roald Dahl together. We'd just finished Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. He'd absolutely loved that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reaching for James and the Giant Peach, and he held up a hand and stopped me and said, "Dad, I want a brand new story that nobody has ever heard before."
Wow, that's a bit of pressure, isn't it?
So it was a bit.
Yeah.
So I had to come up with something on the spot. But he was crazy about trains, so I knew it had to be a story about a train. And he was going through a phase of eating bananas with every meal. He was absolutely crazy about bananas, which is why the train isn't powered by coal like a normal steam train. It's powered by exploding nuclear fusion bananas instead.
Excellent.
And then I just threw in as much stuff from stories that I enjoyed as I could think of. I grew up with stories like The Magic Faraway Tree and Asterix and Tintin and the Indiana Jones films. All stories about exploration and visiting new realms and new worlds and discovering the sort of things that go on there. So I thought, well, if I can tell him that sort of story, maybe that'll hold his attention. And so it did, and it held his attention for so well the first night that he asked me for another instalment the second. And then a third, and we went on for 5 nights before I finally wrapped it up.
And then you were like, you know what? I think I can write this down and make it into a thing.
Yes. Well, not at first. It kicked around in my imagination for about a year after that before I finally tried writing it down. I kept going back to it in my mind and adding bits and thinking of jokes that I should have put in and like tweaking characters. And it kept growing and growing and growing until I finally decided, well, I might actually have something worth writing down here. And I thought, If I can write it down, I could read it to my son again when he's a little bit older.
Sure.
And he had a baby brother by then. And I thought, well, I could read it to his brother when he's old enough.
Use it twice. Brilliant.
Yes.
Why not?
But I never imagined in a million years it would get to this point where it's my first actual published novel. So.
Well, that's very lovely of you to say about yourself, but The Train to Impossible Places has been nominated now for a Waterstones Children's Book Award.
It has, remarkably. Again, not the sort of thing I ever would have thought would happen at all, but here we are. Yes,
so well deserved and very exciting.
Oh, thank you very much indeed. Yes, I'm very excited indeed.
Now we do a quiz with every author on Fun Kids, like a quick fire round of questions.
Okay.
I wondered whether I could do that with you right now.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, cool. No pressure, but you know, just to get a feel for what you like. Books or Kindles?
Books first, but I do really like my Kindle as well.
Okay. Heroes or villains?
I'm going to give the uncool answer and say heroes.
No, that's a good answer. Yes. A lot of... Yeah, okay, I can see.
I know villains are always more fun to write, but I a good hero is really, really good.
Sylvester McCoy or Tom Baker?
Oh, Sylvester McCoy.
I thought you might say that, yes.
Good question.
Film adaptation or TV adaptation?
Ooh, it depends. What, of my book or just in general?
Well, whichever way you want to take the question.
Oh, I don't know. That's a hard one. I mean, some things lend themselves better to TV because, the more long-form exploration. I think the Marvel movies would work better as sort of really big TV shows like Game of Thrones if they gave them that sort of treatment.
Yeah.
I can't really call that one.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Just anything you're offered,
really. Yeah.
Writing or reading?
Reading.
Reading. Mm. The Orient Express or the Trans-Pennine Express?
Ooh, Orient Express.
Okay. Hogwarts or Narnia?
Narnia.
I thought you'd say that as well. I did. Mm. Laptop or write by hand?
Laptop. Couldn't cope without it.
I think I can get this one. Roald Dahl or Jacqueline Wilson?
Roald Dahl.
Lifeguard or roller coaster operator?
Roller coaster operator.
More fun, I imagine. No,
yeah.
A bit more fun. Bookshop visit or school tour?
Oh. School tour.
Mm. Do you write 9 to 5 or do you write when you fancy?
I write sort of 9 to 1 and then do sort of admin and other boring adulty bits in the afternoon.
9 to 1, that's a nice working day, isn't it?
Not
too bad. And finally, the big one, salt and vinegar or cheese and onion?
Cheese and onion.
Oh, shame. Salt and vinegar is the correct answer for that one.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry. I was doing so well until then.
So well. No, I'll let you off. It's fine. Well, thank you so much for coming by.
And, it's been a pleasure.
Showing us the Train to Impossible Places. Please come back for the next book as well.
I will, with pleasure.
Because I know we've been talking a lot about your book on Fun Kids, so I think a lot of our listeners have read it and are very excited about it.
Oh, fantastic. That's great to hear.
So, yeah, so come back when the next book is ready and good to go.
Will do. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.